I'm a black woman. I come from a black woman who came from a black woman who came from a black woman, and I'm gonna give birth to a black woman.
I'm rooting for everybody black. I am.
I wanna get the language so right that everybody here will cry out. Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
I'm blackity, black, black, black.
Hey y'all, welcome back to the BMW Podcast. You're listening for Black Millennial Women. I'm Kai.
I'm Nika.
And I'm Slim.
And we're partnering with Crossover Media, a new podcasting network amplifying black and brown voices. Make sure y'all go check them out. Y'all, so this episode is like full of exciting news. So first and foremost, we want to congratulate BMW's very own Nika because she bought her first house.
Hey, no. I'm so glad this process is over because it was stressful than a motherfucker.
this like some real grown woman stuff right here. Like when you buy your first house, that's how you know you grown. Like you have to add the second grown onto the grown.
That's a fact because I'll be thinking about my parents and by my age, I'm 28. I'll be 29 in a couple months. My parents, they were on like their second house and they had three kids and married for 11 years. And here I am like, I got a puppy in my first house.
Right, same.
Everything in your own timing.
I don't even have my own house. And like, my parents definitely had multiple properties by the time they was my age, like four kids. So that is crazy. Like, this generation is so different. We're having children at slower rates. We just buying houses at lower rates. We buying all this designer stuff at lower rates. Like,
and I will say this, I have massive student debt from law school. And when I say massive, I mean in the hundreds of thousands. So if y'all like hundreds, multiple hundreds. And I bought this house. So if y'all want to figure out how, because I know student loans is a big issue with a lot of people on why they don't buy. And if you want to, you want me to talk about my experience with having a massive amount of student loan debt, but still being able to purchase property, that is a substantial amount of money because it ain't cheap. I will do an episode on that. So just let us know on Twitter at BMW Podcast.
Yeah, and we might have to do an episode about how to like get your credit in order because I think all of us here at the BMW Podcast have like increased our credit over the last year or two. And that's just so much of an important process, especially when you talk about ownership of anything. You know, your credit got to be right. So we might talk about that too. Let us know if that's something y'all interested in. Because your girl, meaning me, increased her score over 200 points in 1 year.
And I did mine like in 5 months. I think I increased it. Well, it depends on the score because you know you got three scores. So I increased it from 70 to 100 points in like 6 months. So if y'all want us to talk go ahead.
Yeah, that's just crazy. I mean, it's crazy good because it's a part of growing up. And I've definitely been on our ground, but Nika especially because she just bought the house. But y'all, the other big news that we have is that BMW Podcast has reached over 10,000 listens.
Yeah, that's Woo! Crazy. Since May when we started this.
I cannot believe it. Y'all remember like when we were like getting 20 listens a week and we were like, oh my God, 20 people listen.
When we hit 70 listens in a week, it was like, oh my God, 70 listens this week. And that's, and that was so big for us. Now it's like so much more.
So much more. Like so much more to the point that it's so much more to the point that we wanted to wait until we reached 10,000 listens to tell y'all and like do like a big celebration. And then now we're telling y'all we're almost at 11,000. Like, it's bananas.
And like, we didn't even put out an episode last week.
That's we didn't, and we're still almost at 11,000.
Exactly, and that's we reached 10,000 with the release of our last episode. So you're talking about since our last episode 2 weeks ago, we've almost had 1,000 listens on just our other episode. So we are pretty much grateful for y'all that are
talking about everybody.
Yeah, for everybody out there talking about us and spreading the BMW love, we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, y'all be emailing us, y'all interact with us on social media, y'all be telling y'all friends, y'all be tagging people. Like, every time somebody like shares us and starts tagging people, we'd be like, do y'all know this person? Because it's almost like, I feel like that whenever you get success, you have to feel like, oh, this must be somebody I know who's doing this because they know me and they're trying to support. But when we realize like, oh, these people don't know us, they just like listening and they like our content, that's so encouraging because it's like, no, we do not know these people and they just like us.
Right.
And we literally do send the text like, do you know this person in the group chat? Do we have any mutuals? No. She just like our podcast.
They just like us.
They really like us.
Mikey likes it. He really likes it. Y'all remember that commercial?
Mm-hmm.
That was an old one.
All right. So, okay, y'all. For our 10,000 listen.
Mm-hmm. For our 10,000 listen, we decided that we're going to do a giveaway. A BMW giveaway, and we are so excited about it. So I'm gonna tell y'all the rules.
Let me tell you. Well, first tell them what they're getting.
Well, okay, yeah, I should start with that. That's a good idea. So for our BMW giveaway, I'm so excited about this, y'all. Our very own Tia from Baker is she's gonna be making BMW treats. So it might be cookies, it might be BMW cake pops. We will let y'all know. And we're also doing mugs, BMW mugs, BMW t-shirts, and we're doing a big cash giveaway of $100.
Now, this is so exciting, not only because y'all get cash and cookies or treats, but also you will receive the first ever BMW merch. We have never made any other merch, sold any merch, so you will get the first exclusive BMW merch.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about it is, like, we just bought y'all merch, and we haven't even really bought ourselves merch. So when we got it, like, we was like, oh, shoot, we gotta buy some for ourselves. Because this looks dope. So we are super excited. We nothing but the best for our listeners. We also are going to do a second prize, and the second prize winner will still get the BMW treats, cookies, or cake pops. They'll still get the mug, and they'll still get the t-shirt. But they will not get the $100 prize, but you can have the ability to pick a topic and come join us on that episode if you wish. So, and the first prize winner, if you don't want the money and you just balling and you don't need an extra $100 and you would rather come be on the show with us, you have that option to switch it out too. So we're leaving it up to y'all, but let me tell y'all how y'all win the prize. So y'all have to follow us on Twitter and IG. At BMW Podcast on all platforms. At BMW Podcast. Remember that. So then we're going to post about the giveaway. So when we post about the giveaway, y'all go and y'all comment under the post, comment your favorite episode. Then share the post and tag two friends. And that is legitimately all you have to do to be entered to win. That's all you have to do. You go on there, you comment on it, share it, tag two friends. That's it. But in addition, if you want extra chances to win, we're going to drop some polls on our IG and our Twitter. So y'all got to be looking out for our stories, because we're going to ask questions about the podcast. And for every question you answer correctly, your name can be entered to win some more time. So however many questions we release, however many you get correct, we're just going to add your name a bunch of times to the entry if you get it correct. So if you are a real BMW listener and you really be listening, you have a chance, you have an even greater chance to win the BMW merch, which is, again, the cookies, cake pops, the mugs, the t-shirts, and $100 cash money, honey. So I'm excited, y'all.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And again, these will be posted to our social media platform. So don't feel like you have to rewind this 87 times to figure out what you need to do. We will post it on our Twitter and our Facebook and our Instagram so that you can check it out.
And then I realized that some people, we wanted to announce it here first because we realized that not everybody follows us on social media. So we didn't want y'all to be left out. So we wanted to announce it here first. So if you're listening to the podcast, you've heard it first, and then we'll drop it to our social media. So go ahead and do y'all thing and get involved because we're just excited to see who wins. We can't wait. And that's it about the giveaway. Anything? Anybody got anything else to add?
Nope.
All right, then y'all know what time it is. Let's get into the BMW riff off. Our word this week is trouble. Y'all know how this go. We pick a word that corresponds with our topic, and then we sing a song with that word in it. So I'm going to go first. The word is trouble. Let's go. Just when the winter started getting cold, you came along. And you warmed up my bones. I'm in good, good trouble with you. I'm in good, good trouble with you. It's on you, Slim.
I told you she was going to do this. She do this every time.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Shame on me, your heart flew me to places I've never been. So you put me down. Oh, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Shame on me that outflew me to places I've never been. Now I'm lying on a cold hard ground. Oh! Oh, trouble, trouble, trouble.
I knew you were trouble from the start. Trouble? You were real bad trouble from the start. But Curtis, I'm your woman. Getting out now. I'm not building this group to have you tear it apart. Go ahead and rant and scream and shout. Don't worry, baby. I'll buy you out.
There's not money dirty enough to buy me out. Remember that, Curtis. You remember that. Y'all are real BMW people if y'all know where that comes from.
No, I have a problem with her singing three people parts.
Well, y'all know it'd be a little lag on here, so I couldn't let you take it over.
Right. That part. Where were you looking up the lyrics, Slim?
I was, because he said, getting out now, get down now. What he say right there? Right, he said.
I don't know. I did not know. I'm like, did she say that owl flew me to places? I don't know.
Why I flew me to?
Exactly.
That's my song. Tell us the lyrics.
Okay, so it's the shame on me now, and then it's like flew me to places I never been.
I thought she said that owl flew me to places.
That owl, you know,
outlandish stuff.
And the now owl was an owl somewhere.
No,
because I thought she was like, because who, you know, because no. That owl. My bad, Taylor. Sorry.
No. Okay, y'all. So we picked trouble for the word this week because this episode is about getting in trouble. We're going to talk about when we was kids, living at home, getting in trouble. So I thought about this because I was watching the compilation video of this prank that people are doing now when they telling their parents to shut up and like seeing the parents' reactions. And I already know this is a thing, but I was really shocked about the difference between the Black parent reactions and the white parents' reactions. It's a lot of things that you just wouldn't do in Black people households. And I just wanted to talk about us just getting in trouble. So we can talk about petty stuff we got in trouble for or the big stuff that we got in trouble for. But can y'all think of a scenario when y'all were really young that you got in trouble for?
Yeah, I do. So when I was maybe 6 or 7, I had these two best friends. One was a guy, one was a girl. And I remember one day we were at the guy best friend's house, and I still remember his name and everything. He used to be real good at chess, like real good. Like he could beat a grown person without his queen good. And he was like 6. He was like, and now he's a chess professor, which I feel like is just so fitting. But anyways, so he basically, like, we were standing at the top of the stairs that go down to his basement, and there was nobody down in the basement. And for some reason, somebody suggested that we moon downstairs. And I don't know if they saw it in like a movie or a TV show or whatever. So we basically all three stood next to each other, turned around and pulled down our pants and underwear and mooned the empty basement. Well, at that moment, his mom or dad, I don't remember, came downstairs and saw what we were doing. So I get home, and like, mind you, this is back like in the 90s, like late, mid to late 90s. So like back then we could just roam. Like I would just go to my friend's house at 6, ride my bike over there. You know what I'm saying? It was a different time. It was a different time. So I rode home, but by the time I got home, his parents had already called my parents. So my daddy was like, you know, what was you doing over there? Whatever, whatever. And I was like, I was like dancing around it because I'm not like, I don't get in trouble a lot and I didn't like lie a lot. And so it was so like when I was asked something that I didn't want to answer, I would just kind of avoid it. So my daddy was like, show me what you did. Show me what you did. And I was like, we just took our pants and we pulled them down. He was like, no, show me what you did. So I showed him. He said, pow. I got a whooping swiftly. When I tell you I ain't pulled down my pants till I was 18, shit. In a man's presence, okay? I stayed firmly in her jeans for the next 11 years.
Wow. I'm dead.
And that's like the youngest like trouble I remember getting into. Oh no, that's not true. I was actually younger and I was a little bit older when I got in trouble for sticking my baby sister's metal. I mean, she had like plastic keys and I stuck it into the socket to like start the car, but they were plastic. Man, I got told for that too.
Dang, what? I mean, you were a kid.
I mean, yeah, sir. Like, my parents weren't very, like, whooping parents, at least with me anyways. But, like, it was certain things that they felt like could be dangerous that they would, because they know I don't like getting in trouble. So it ain't even like they would do all of that much. I was just dramatic. And so they would, like, threaten me with the whooping because they knew that was effective for me. So if it was, like, a behavior that they thought was dangerous, then they would, you know. So me sticking keys in a socket warranted a little bit of whooping.
I suppose they don't want you to get electrocuted. When I was like 5 years old, I stole like $20 from my daddy. Now, in my 5-year-old little brain, I knew that it was $20. Like, you know how some kids don't know how to place the value on, like, certain money? I knew what the value was. But what had happened was my daddy used to keep, like, cash money just laying around. And my mom was leaving out, and I guess she just needed, like, a few dollars. So she told me, she was like, go in there in the room in your daddy drawer and, like, get me, like, 3 singles. So I was like, okay. So what I was looking for was 4 singles so that I could have a single too. So I couldn't find no single like fast enough. And the only thing I could see in there was like a 20. So I was just like, okay. So I just like took the 20. So then like in my little devious little 5-year-old mind, I thought I'm just going to tell Like, I'm going to take the $1 for me and give my mama the $3 and just say I took $4. And she was like, when your dad wakes up, you know, tell him that I, you know, grabbed a couple dollars. I said, okay. So instead of telling him, like, oh, mom grabbed $23 or whatever, I just was like, oh, yeah, mom grabbed a couple dollars, but I still had the 20. So now I didn't know he counted all this loose change or loose money. So apparently, like, he was missing $20. Well, obviously, he was missing $20. I took it. But he noticed that he was missing $20. So I just kept it in my change purse. I didn't really have no reason to spend money, but I just like to have it on me. I'm still that way. Like, I don't even be spending it, but I like to have it. So it was just like, I just put it in my little coin purse, so just in case I needed it. But my brother used to always try to steal my money because he knew I always had some money. So he went in my coin purse and he was like, well, how did she get $20? So then he went to my mom and dad, like, Kaya has $20, you know, how she get $20? Then they put two and two together, like, I'm missing $20, she got $20. And I got my ass whipped by my daddy, but I was 5 and my daddy never whipped me. So he was just like, he was crying while he was whipping me. Like, he did not want to do it. He was just like, I think it was a combination of he didn't want to do it, and also he was so hurt, like, oh, my princess, she stole $20 for me. And I just felt so bad about it. I was just like, oh my God, I'm never gonna steal again in life. And I really didn't, because I felt really bad about it. Like, I was just like, dang. So yeah, I really got my butt whipped when I was like 5 for that. And then the other time I could think of when I was real young where I got whooping, and it was Shanika's fault. So I just want to throw it out there.
Right, I guarantee now, I won't remember this.
You won't, but it was your fault. And I'm about to put you on blast. So it was all of us, all the cousins and everything. We were all like at my house. And it was some cornbread or something.
No, this wasn't me. I didn't take that cornbread.
No, you didn't take the cornbread. You just convinced everybody that I did.
And at that point, she knew she wanted to be a lawyer.
Right. The cornbread was like old or something. I guess like it wasn't supposed to be eaten. So my mom noticed that somebody ate the cornbread, and she wanted to know who ate the cornbread because the cornbread was bad. So, but everybody thought, or whoever ate the cornbread thought that they was going to get in trouble. So I guess they lied about it. So my mom was getting pissed off because nobody was fessing up to eating this cornbread. And so she was like, if somebody don't tell me who ate this cornbread, everybody getting a whooping. That's what Black people do. Black people get everybody.
And mind you, it wasn't just her kids. It was like me, my brother. It was a whole bunch of people that wasn't her children.
Right. Black people just so, they just be violent, whooping people's kids that ain't even your kids. So my mom was like, everybody should whoop. So she went one by one and whooped everybody, and nobody confessed. So she mad. So she's like, okay, y'all go in the room and y'all figure out who took the cornbread. Y'all come to a consensus and y'all come tell me who took it. So we go in the room and Nika starts convincing everybody, I think Kai took it. And I'm just like, no, I didn't. And everybody's just like, yeah, Kai took it. And everybody got on board. Everybody just was like, yeah, I did it. So then they all went back to my mom and told my mom, Kai did it. And I'm just like, so I got whooped again, even though I didn't take the cornbread. So then she was asking me, did you take the cornbread? I said, no. So I got whooped again. So she gonna keep whooping me until I can confess that I took this cornbread. So I said, fuck it. I said, yeah, I ate the cornbread, you know? So then I got whooped again for eating the cornbread. Then my brother, I guess he just developed a conscience and he felt bad. So he told that he's the one who ate the cornbread. But now I done already got whooped like 4 times and I'm on punishment for 2 weeks. And I still didn't even get off punishment after he confessed that he's the one that ate the cornbread, because she was like, you should never confess to something you didn't do. So now I'm going to teach you a lesson. And I was still on punishment for 2 weeks because I confessed to something that I didn't do.
What's funny about that?
She was going through some shit.
She really was. I remember this day. I don't remember convincing people, but it sounded like something I would do. But I remember this day, and I remember it because I'm like, she, because I have like a little bit of righteous indignation in me. So I'm like, she ain't finna whoop me. That ain't my mama or whatever. So I think she like gave me like literally the weakest, like the belt was basically a wet noodle when she hit me with it. But I do remember Slim going,
like literally like raised up. Okay, public service announcement, she loved me, whatever, but she whipped my ass that day.
But what it was that you were moving, you were like running from her, like not running, but you were like moving.
Get their ass for something they didn't do. I feel like, why?
No, but that's why you were getting hit in your legs, because you were moving so much. And she was like, just stick still.
In there.
Yeah, that I remember that.
And furthermore, that I got whooped so many times because of Slim. It don't even make no sense. Because my mom subscribed to that. If nobody confessed to it, everybody get a whooping. Like, that was her thing. And Slim was always doing little slick shit. And she would always get us whooped. Like, and it'd be stupid stuff. Like, my mom be like, who drank my pop? And it'd be Slim. And she wouldn't confess to it.
We could have pop. So if we can't have pop or if we can't have candy, I have to sneak and get it.
So she sneaking in. And she let everybody
get a whooping. Exactly.
She let everybody get whooped for something she know she did. And she know if she say she did it, she gonna get whooped anyway. So why not just get whooped and not make all of us get whooped for something you know you did? Like, ain't that crazy?
That happened to me and my brother one time. So basically, there was like a Sunny Delight. My parents got Sunny Delight. And like when we were younger, my parents
drinks that thick ass juice anyway.
We were like 10. It was pure sugar. We loved it. Anyways, my mom like buy all the snacks and cookies and stuff. But my brother would like literally, if she would buy a pack of cookies, like them oatmeal cookies with the frosting, them hard ass cookies, if she bought them, the next morning they would be gone. Like he would just eat all of the snacks. So like one day we had one of the Sunny D's with dinner. And then we went upstairs. I went to bed or whatever. Not to bed, but I went upstairs. Well, my brother got another juice and he left the juice, empty juice thing on the counter. So my parents were like, you know, my dad came upstairs like, who drank that juice? And it wasn't that they were going to get in trouble for drinking the juice because they bought them for us. And generally, like, because my brother ate up everything, they would be like, this is y'all's. You know, if it's gone, it's gone. I'm not buying no more for 3 weeks or whatever. So he was like, basically, like, I'm not upset that y'all drank the juice. He didn't say this, but this is what he was thinking. I'm not upset because whoever drank the juice, I just wanted to know to tell them to come throw it away. So he came in and was like, who had that juice down, that extra Sunny D downstairs? I'm like, I didn't have it. My brother, it wasn't me. So then he was like, who drank the juice? It was one of y'all. It's only you two. Because at the time, my little brother and sister were like too young. They were like babies. And so he was like, it had to be one of y'all. So who was it? And I'm like, well, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. So now he's like, go put on a t-shirt. And we're like, no. So we have to go put on a long t-shirt and go into his room. And my daddy had like a whooping belt. So it was a belt without a buckle on it or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slim Face was like, yeah, he took the buckle off so he wouldn't actually hurt us. So he going, did you drink the juice? Did you drink the juice? This is your last chance before I start whooping or whatever. And so we both like, no, no, no. At this point, I'm crying. I'm being real dramatic about this whooping because it ain't like my daddy would hit us all that hard because I got a whooping later in life, which I'll tell you about later. And I'm like, this don't even hurt. I was being real dramatic. So he was like, you know, he asked, did you drink the juice? And I would say no. And then he would hit me with the belt. Then he would ask my brother, did you drink the juice? He would say no, he would hit him with the belt. And he goes back and forth like this for like 3 swipes on each of us. Then he go in y'all rooms, whatever. So at this point, I'm like, drink the juice, whatever. So I go into my room. later I found out that my daddy at this point is like crying literally because he know my brother drank the juice because he know I wouldn't lie this long and kept getting this whooping. So he like, I just whooped my baby for no reason. So he sent me and my brother out the room. He went downstairs, told my mama, like, I'm finna tear him up. And my brother comes back in the room. He is running. Oh, you can just hear boom, 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 boom. And it's my daddy chasing my brother around the room. So he get his butt beat, obviously, for lying and making me get a whooping for drinking the juice. And then later, like, so once it was all over, my daddy was like, basically, my parents were like, you can make him do whatever you want him to do. My stupid, overly forgiving self was like, he just has to do the dishes tonight because it's taco night and I didn't want to clean up all them dishes. So I was like, he just has to do the dishes tonight. I could have made him do the dishes for the next 3 months. I was like, just tonight is fine. They was like, you sure that's it? I was like, yeah. And that was it.
Slim never got in trouble for getting me a whooping. And my brother, he never got in trouble for getting me a whooping either. All these people got me a whooping. And the only thing I ever did was steal $20.
Who follows the fucking rules of life? Like, she was literally the golden child. Never got in trouble for nothing. On her own merit.
I can remember five whoopings in my life. And three of them was because of my brother doing some stuff. That basically, like, I didn't have, like, one time she, like, we were walking home from school and we would get home super late every day because my, like, maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hours after school ended because my brother would stay and talk with his friends, but my mama told us not to split up. So one day I had came home by myself and she was like, well, why are you by yourself? I said, well, he won't come on. And I was ready to come home. She was like, you don't walk off by yourself or whatever. If y'all walking home together. So the next day she was like, y'all need to be back in this house by 4:45. And for every minute y'all late, y'all getting a hit. So I'm with him. We in the neighborhood. And I'm like, come on, let's go. Like, we gotta go home. And he like, just go, just go. And I was like, I can't. Like, she said, we gotta be home by 4:45. And she said, I can't leave you. Like, let's go. He would not come on. His friend was like, you better go. You better go. He was like, nah, we good. My mama come rolling up about 15 minutes after we were supposed to be home, picked us up. She was like, you're lucky I came and got you because I punishment. And I was telling her, like, he told me not to leave him. And she was like, and he wouldn't come on. She was like, well, you was in the neighborhood. You just could have came home. Huh? Where is the logic here?
My parents be contradicting themselves, bro. Where?
And I was like, bro, but you told me not to show up at the house without him no more. So what did you want me to do? I still got a whooping for that mess. And I'm mad about that whooping to this day. Because I felt like, what was I supposed to do? What you say, Slim?
I said, again, parents show you when you think back, like, y'all was going through some shit at that time. And I was a scapegoat. Because ain't no way this makes sense.
It was real unreasonable.
Yeah, all right, Slim. Tell us about your trouble. Besides you eating pop and candy that you weren't supposed to eat.
I mean, well, it's really hard for me to think because I was like a great child. I was misunderstood.
She was bad. That's what that mean.
I just had desires of drinking pop all when I wanted to drink it and I couldn't drink it because I always got told no when I asked. So I had to sneak and drink pop, had to sneak and eat candy. Just stupid shit that I got in trouble for. Stupid shit. So let me see if I can think. I remember getting my ass smacked. Oh my God. This was the first time that my daddy smacked me. Because he thought I was a virgin, right? So he asked me, and I was like, I'm a virgin. And he smacked me so hard. You know, like the movie where, like, you get smacked and then it's like you fly all the way and then hit a car? He smacked me. That was worse than the whip, bro. But yeah, turned out I was a virgin. Then he like, oh, you want some McDonald's? I'm like,
I won't have
will never understand. It's like, what was this your reaction when your sons, when you thought your sons was a virgin?
Period.
If I'm not a virgin, that's my business. What you mean? That's why I'm like, my daddy ain't never smacked me. He ain't crazy. If you hearing this, I mean, I know you could do it. What am I going to do, really?
I know you think it's crazy. That's why I said you ain't crazy. You're crazy to smack women, you know?
Exactly. But I just feel like my parents, like, and we talked about this in the Let's Talk About Sex episode, my parents were like, very chill about that stuff. And I don't understand the idea that, like, you become enraged because your daughter is no longer a virgin. Like, that shit's so stupid to me. I just don't get it. It's like, have that, if you gonna have that energy, have that same energy for y'all nasty ass son. Do that.
And didn't have that same energy. But one time I got a whooping, I think it was always over, like, sneaky stuff. Like, legit. Because...
What was the last whooping you got?
When I was 17, I think.
Me too.
That was the last.
When I tell you I was angry,
I was like, I'm grown. Why are you whooping me?
No, I wasn't 17 yet. Exactly. I was like 16, about to be 17, and I was out in the front. This is a story. So I was out. So there was this boy. He was
always over a boy. Swear.
He was a family friend, but he was like, I was 16, about to be 17, and he was like 18, just turning 19. Like, we were, when I was a sophomore or a freshman, he was a junior or senior. So, like, we were like 3 years apart in school, 3 years apart, or 2.5 years apart, whatever. So when I was 16, he was 18 or 19. I was about to be 17. So we were like 2.5 years apart. It sounded like we were really far apart, but we weren't. And we grew up together. So anyways, but he was a mess. Like, he had felonies. He had babies. He had slim over here like felonies. Oh, girl, should have kept them. He had felonies. He was a mess. Anyway, so my parents were like, you can't talk to him. And mind you, this made me mad because, like, my parents have always been very open about dating. Like, I had a boyfriend at 13 and my dad called him and, like, had a talk with him at 13. Like, they didn't care. They were like, you're kids. Like, this is what y'all do. Just, you know, we gonna give you the tools to make safe, smart decisions. But with this particular boy, I think it may have been, like, mostly because he had a baby already, that they felt like, part of them was like, I want to just let her do what she gonna do because this is her life. And she, you know, we've given them that range to make their own decisions and that she needs to make that decision. But I think it was also the other side of the coin, that won was that, like, he is kind of careless. And so, like, I feel like she's not ready for him. He's grown, basically. So, and he got felonies and a baby. So it was like, and he got felonies and a baby. So they essentially was like, well, you can't talk to him. Because, and I had told them that I liked him. Because, like, again, my dad would randomly ask us growing up, like, who you like? And sometimes I say nobody, and sometimes I tell him. You know what I'm saying? So I told him. And so they were like, uh-uh. Well, they kicked me out the room, I believe. And then talked about it, called me back into the room, and was like, nope, not today. So anyway, so we would still talk or whatever, because... I'm a teenage girl and I'm gonna do what I want to do, apparently. And so one night my mama's a nurse and she used to work the overnight shift and she worked from 7 to 7. And so, and my dad is like, he's be up super late. He would be up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, but I knew at like 3 o'clock, he gonna be in the deepest of deep sleeps. So I was like, come over at 3 o'clock. Now, my parents don't know this, so I'm sure they're listening, but I used to have people come over, like, late, and we would just, like, watch movies and shit in the basement. But this particular time, I just was outside with him. Like, it was, like, the middle of the winter, and we were just outside, like, talking or whatever. Slim, you're muted. Oh, never mind. Anyway, so we were outside. And it was the middle of the winter, snow on the ground in Illinois. So we were talking and, like, he had his hands in my back pocket because it was cold outside and we were just talking. Like, we weren't doing anything, weren't whatever. So he kept saying, like, I feel like your mama gonna pull up. I feel like your mama gonna pull up. And I'm like, no, she's not. She works till 7. Like, just stay for 30 more minutes. You'll be fine. And then we'll go, whatever. So my back is facing, like, the corner that my mom turns on to come up the street. And he goes, your mama here. And I was like, I told you she don't get off till 7. He was like, no, like, your mama is here. Like, she pulling up. I was like, shit. So here we standing there out at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the winter. There, my mama pull up the driveway. All I could think to do is while she walk up, she opened, like, she rolled down the window and said, hi, insert man's name here. And I was like, hi, mommy. And then she looked at him, she said, would you like a ride home? He was like, no, I'm good. So I go in my room. I'm in trouble. I take my phone, put it out on the ledge because I know she's taking it. I put my little game out on the ledge because I know she's taking it. So she came in the house. She didn't come to my room right away. She went to my daddy room. And apparently she walked in my daddy room and, like, hit him. Bow! Where your daughter at? And he was like, in the room, sleep. I don't know. She said, no. She was outside with the boy.
With the man. With the family, and the baby daddy.
And you all were just snoring. So he come in my room and he asking me, like, questions. And my dad's pet peeve, and I'm sitting on my bed. So my bed is against, like, the far back wall, but it faces the door. So I'm sitting on the edge of my bed. He's in my doorway. My parents are in my doorway, but my dad is, like, in the immediate doorway. And my dad is asking me questions. I don't remember the questions. And I just am lying. Like, and it's clear I'm lying because I don't lie very often. So I'm bad at it. So I'm lying. He was like, Nika, you gonna stop lying to me? I'm gonna ask you this one more time. He asked me the question. I lied again. When I tell you I blinked, I was on the floor on the whole other side of my bed when I opened my eyes. He had Spider-Man summoned my boot from across the room. I don't know. When I tell you, it was a blink of an eye. Like, and I am not exaggerating about this all. My brother will tell you my daddy was on him in the blink of an eye before too. Summoned the boot from across the room. I'm getting a whooping with this boot. Like, oh my God. What's happening? I went to school the next day. I had to wear my gym shorts. I had a boot print on my thigh. They was like, is that a shoe print? I was like, no. I tried to run away that night too, being hella dramatic. More again, like I said, this all—I'm sure all of this sounds really abusive, but it wasn't. Like, I deserved it.
Hey, black people, send in y'all stories.
Cause y'all know y'all got them.
Right. We won't say your name, but we want to show that this is universal for black people.
Exactly. But. And it didn't even hurt all that bad because later he tried to whip me with a belt. And I think that at that point, I was just irritated because I'm like, it just was like, for me, I just felt like my brother does so much crap. Like, my brother was always doing something. And he got in trouble, but they just, for the most part, like, it was like 50-50. Like, sometimes they would let it go. Sometimes they would try to punish him. Like, it's just what it was that day. I'm like, y'all acting like I done been a perfect child for the last 17 years. And y'all out here acting like I done murdered somebody. And it just made me so mad that I'm like, y'all really is doing all of this for somebody who's like literally never gets in trouble for anything. So I tried to run away to my best friend's house. And that man came and picked me up literally, like, because I went to school. I packed the bag and went to school because I was up all night getting yelled at. And then I went to school and I packed a bag and I went to her house after school. They came and got me at like 7 p.m. And then that made me even more mad because I'm like, my brother been ran away for weeks, like literal weeks, went to go live with his friends. And you can't even let me spend the night? Like, y'all petty. I'm so bad.
Nah, because it's like, we let her spend the night, she's going to be out here with the felon. With the
That was her cousin.
That's why they ain't let you spend the night.
Yeah, you could have been a baby mama at 18.
I would not have been no baby mama.
They was like, negative. My mama tried to like jump stupid about something like that when I was 16 with a dude, but it was like he wasn't a felon or a baby daddy. He was my age, and it was like we was holding hands. Like, I did not want to hear it. Like, she was getting upset about me holding hands with this man, and I'm 16 years old, and I was just like, and then she was telling me, well, you don't need to be out here holding hands with somebody that's not your boyfriend. I'm like, I don't want to hear that shit. Like, I really don't.
He is my boyfriend. I don't low care key
nothing that you're talking about. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, and it was irritating me because she's like, if he don't want to make you your boyfriend, or if he don't want to be your boyfriend, then you shouldn't be holding hands with him. And I thought that shit was stupid, first of all. I'm like, that's dumb. But second of all, like, he had asked me to be my boyfriend and I told him no. So it was just like that thing, like, you don't know what you're talking about, because it's not like he don't want to be my boyfriend. I didn't want to be his girlfriend, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just like okay, like, mom, you doing the most. And she's like, I make it so that you won't see him no more. And I was just like, yep, at that point I'm done with this. So I get to walking off. This wasn't the time that I thought I was going to get my ass beat, but I didn't. I get to walking off. She's like, get back here when I'm talking to you. Don't walk away from me when I'm talking to you. And I was like, I'm done. I kept walking. I'm done with this conversation. No, I'm not coming back. No, I'm not talking to you about this anymore. And she was heated, but I walked away and went in the room and closed the door.
And I was just like, locked it for good measure.
If that was me, I would have got my ass whipped. Period.
Boy, I walked away so swift, and I think it was because, like, all my aunties and uncles was there, so they probably told her, like, "Gee, you tripping? Like, this girl holding hands with somebody." So I think that's probably why she didn't try to do the most, because I think they kind of made her realize she was tripping. But I didn't care at that point. I was walking off like
she was mad. Yeah, I looked like she didn't know who the boy was. She mad that you didn't come tell her.
That's what it really be about. That, and they don't like, I feel like when I turned like 16, 17, like, my mouth got exponentially worse. Like, I feel like I just did not care. And so like, there was this one time my mama was talking about, basically, I didn't make student athlete. And to get like the student athlete award, you had to play a sport and you had to get like a 3.6 GPA. I got like a 3.5 GPA that semester. So, but I was in a sport. So I didn't get the scholar athlete award or whatever. My brother did. And like, she was just like going on being annoying. And was like, he got the scholar athlete award. Why didn't you get it? Should have worked harder. Like, just being petty. And it just made me so mad, because I'm over here literally taking all AP and honors classes. And he had like cooking. 2 gym classes, like, and I was standing by like the fireplace, and so the fireplace was in the family room, and then there was like this like ledge, and then on the other side of the ledge was the kitchen. So she was at the sink doing dishes, and it was like candles on the ledge. So she's talking, and I said, all right then, if scholar athlete means so much to you, mama, I'll just take all remedial classes like my brother next semester so you can get the style athlete certificate. She picked up that candle and threw it at me so fast. I dug that mug shattered on the fire. Here she go. Now clean it up. I was like, how you gonna throw a candle at me then make me clean it up? And that's what that.
Hey, you deserve that candle, G.
I did, because it just came out of my mouth, and after I said it, I was like, "Oh."
I'm like, who the fuck she thinks she's talking to?
That's a black mama ass statement. Who the fuck you think you talking to? Oh, so you want to fight? I'm just blocking your hits. What are you talking about? I don't want to fight.
Man,
this is a defense mechanism. What are you doing?
Man, I seen my brother like flinch like he was finna hit my mama. And when I tell you 2 seconds later, he was on the ground. It wasn't even 2 seconds. It was 1 second. When I tell you she came up off that floor, both feet, and kicked that man in the chest, and he went crying, I laughed so hard. I could not keep it together. I was laughing. Like, I know you're not supposed to laugh, but he flinched. She kicked him, and then she was over on top of him in, like, 1 second. It was all one motion. And she's like, if you ever think you're going to hit me, I'm going to fuck you up.
That happened with my brother, too. Because she had, like, bucked at him, and then he bucked back. And then when I told her, she was like, boom, 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 boom. And he was like, ah, mom, sorry, it was an accident. Like, it was a reflex. She was like,
you know what?
Reflexes next time. You know, sit here and buck at me like you finna hit me.
That reminds me of a time when me and mama got to tussling because she tried to pull a stunt where I didn't do something. Like, I probably didn't clean my room. And she was like, you can't go to varsity night. Mind you, I'm on a varsity cheerleading team. This is homecoming. This is the biggest night of high school. She's like, and you can't go. I said, man, I'm going. I don't even remember what I said, but I was basically like, yeah, right. I'm going to go. So I was like, oh, you think you grown? And then I'm like, at that point, I'm like, shit, let's go. So I had like kind of bucked at her. And then she bucked back. We got the tussling. I'm like, you ain't going to keep putting your hands on me. She's like, oh, you think you grown? You think you grown? Like, no, you're not going to take away my senior night. They gonna say my name in front of hundreds of people. Hey, what's wrong with you? You do my toe touch in front of hundreds of people. What's wrong with you? So we got to touch them, but guess who's at senior night? Guess who won that fight?
Mama, if you listening to this, you hear her talking all this shit, you know. That's how you go. You gotta get up with her.
Do you want around too?
This is from my perspective. We all have a different perspective.
She said, "Can we get up real quick? This is my experience."
Oh, I thought it went.
She probably got a whole different story.
No, that's really what happened, y'all. For real, for real.
Why she gonna come on here and clear it up?
But yeah. It's crazy because I never like the stories I tell are probably the few and far between. My parents ever really physically disciplined me. That wasn't really a thing in my house. But what they would do, which I hated, my mama would do two things. One, she would put you on punishment for like your whole life. Like she would be like, the next month and a half, you on punishment. No TV, no phone, no books. She would take my books because I like to read. So she knew I didn't really care too much if she took my TV and my phone.
That's petty.
For real. So she would do that, and it would be like when I got caught with that boy. When I tell you, so after that night and I came back home, I was literally on punishment. So that happened in January because it was like 2 weeks before my birthday. I was on punishment until the last day of school, the last day of the school year in June. And when I say punishment, I mean like full lockdown. I couldn't do sports spring semester. I couldn't go. No, I was literally on punishment for 6 months. And I, the whole time, just livid because they ain't never put tires in my brother on punishment that long. But I was on punishment for 6 months. Or my mama would do, if my room was like messy and she told me to clean up and I didn't clean it, I would come home and she had dumped everything out of everything in the middle of the floor. Like even stuff that was clean, like if it was in a drawer, she would still dump it out on the floor and be like, not clean it up.
Well, joke's on you. I'm finna wash all this shit to run up your water bill. Joke's on you. No, but literally all my experiences was mostly about being sneaky or a boy. And I literally had no high school career. I couldn't do nothing in high school. Everybody was like, Keisha can't come. She on punishment. She on punishment. Like, literally, I did not go outside in high school. Only for sports, for track and cheerleading, and then I was in the house. Crazy. I had to quit my job because my ex-boyfriend worked there. It was crazy.
Well, what'd you do? You be doing that. You be telling the other side. What did you do?
Mean. They made me quit because they thought I wasn't a virgin, or I probably wasn't a virgin. Like, but so what? I was getting money. So you gonna make me quit a job because you think I'm having sex? That's retarded. That's the time where I should be getting a job. Oh, so you think you grow? You should work.
Yeah, my parents, after that boy situation, my mama, threw out all my clothes. Any clothing that she thought was too tight or too provocative, she threw it out. And it's to this day, I'll find a picture for y'all. She went and got like these t-shirts from Walmart that were like $4 a piece. And when I tell you, and I had been working since I was 15, like since I first turned 15. So I'm almost 17 at this point. So most of my clothes are stuff that I bought. And back then, I had like baby fat. I had all of like super cute clothes that I had bought. And she literally went through my closet and was like, nope, 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 throughout everything, all of my shirts, basically. And mind you, I have a big chest. So most shirts on me are going to be a little tight. They're going to be whatever. She, nope, nope, nope. She replaced all of my shirts with like 5 t-shirts from Walmart that said stuff like Girls Rock and the 7-Up logo. And it was like highlighted. It was a Girls Rock shirt and it was like purple. And I got, y'all probably see that picture because y'all mama is in that picture with me. It's like a purple shirt with like skulls on it. I think we was in Mississippi in the picture.
You know, and you had braids?
Yes. Remember? That she replaced my shit with. And it was just like this black shirt with like a smiley. Like when I tell you the most childish clothes she could find. And she replaced all, like, and I had a closet full of clothes. She put 5 t-shirts in that mug. My wardrobe still struggling to this day because of that.
That reminds me that mama took us all on a shopping spree and we all got a couple hundred of dollars. She got mad at me because she was trying to make me, like, style me like she wear her clothes. And mama is, like, real conservative. Like, she don't think that girls with chests should wear V-necks because it don't look classy or whatever. I don't know. But we didn't have the same style. So she was telling me in high school that I was a large shirt. I'm a medium shirt, Ma. I was, like, 130. She's like, no, that shirt is too small. And I was just getting irritated, like... No, I'm not gonna wear baggy clothes. I couldn't even go shopping. Everybody got like $300 worth of shopping spree. I didn't get nothing. I was so blue, like, because I don't agree with you in my fashion. And by her standing next to you in that shirt, that made me realize, like, she probably got that shit from your mama. Like, yeah, you think I should? Mm-hmm.
I believe because my mom was being real petty. I had this one shirt. It was super cute. It was like a pink baby fat shirt, and it had like a hole in the back. Like it like cut like to a big old hole, and it had like 2 smaller holes. But I would always wear, and it had like black like stuff on the front, and I would always wear like a black like tank under it. And she like, this got holes in it. And I said, for one, that shirt was expensive. For two, I wear a shirt underneath it. She was like, and it was a high neck and everything. I don't care. The back is out. Threw it away.
I'm upset now. I'm legit upset because.
But then, and what's funny is it wasn't even like, it was like totally reactionary because when I was a senior in high school, after all that was over, whatever, I wore this, I had this baby fat. I wish I still had it. It was real cute. It was like a long shirt that I wore like a dress. And it came like, it was short. Like I used to wear literally whatever I wanted after.
We couldn't wear baby fat.
Why not?
We only could wear baby fat shirts and shoes because... No. I'm sorry. We could wear baby fat. We couldn't wear apple bottom. Because my dad didn't like what it symbolized.
Like when I tell you, it was completely reactionary. Because after I was off of punishment, they never monitored what I wore. You know what I'm saying? She was just being, you got this older boy into you because you look too old. Like, I'm not 13.
This is hereditary, Mom.
What are you talking about?
I think for me, like Slim said, my mom still is kind of conservatory when it comes to stuff, because like even like I had on this dress and this picture that I showed her like when I went out, she's like, don't you think that dress is kind of short? And I was like, if you think this dress is kind of short, you'd be surprised at some of the other stuff I wear. I was like, no, I don't think this is kind of short compared to some of the other stuff.
And she would hate to see what I wear, because it's like, it's either going to be short or it's going to be see-through. A full see-through dress.
Exactly.
And he's in a bra underneath it. So which would you prefer?
I'm like, when you got breasts and butt, it's so hard to find anything, even in the stores, that's not going to show off one of them. Like, it's literally hard. I've tried. Like, when you buying stuff for certain occasions that you don't want too much or too much cleavage, or you don't want it to be too short, it's either got too much cleavage or it's too short. It's like one or the other. So my rule of thumb is I try for it not to be like both, you know what I'm saying? That's right. The only thing I can get. If it's real short, then it's probably a high neck or something like that. If it's cleavage, then it's probably something longer at the bottom. Exactly. And that's the only thing I try to do, because I mean, at this point, these titties and this ass ain't going nowhere.
And that's kind of what I do, only my thing is more see-through. So, like, if it's, so I usually wear, because my chest is so large, wearing V-necks or scoop necks or anything, it's just a lot. Like, it's just, like, a lot of boobage. So, I generally wear, like, a mock neck or, like, just at the base of my neck, like, that height of a shirt, but the shirt itself would be see-through. So, I wear, like, a nice bra that kind of covers my entire chest. So, you could technically see through it, but it's still more modest because it's, like, a higher neck is, you know, more discreet. And it's like, that, you like see-through clothes? I was like, well, because I like to wear like cute, sexy clothes, but I don't want to be all up in your face with my titties.
Right.
And so you this like is classic. Exactly.
And I'm a turtleneck type of girl. When my breasts are showing, I'm like, is this too much?
I did not want anything you're showing. She be like, she claimed all that stuff about in high school, how she wanted to dress and all that stuff. You can't pay her to dress like that now. She be like, oh my God, but my chest is showing. I'm like, she like, should I post this picture? It shows the top of my titty. Like, girl. I'm just because... like, please, they never hurt nobody. Like,
or like, kind of like, girl, it's just a thigh show. And I'm like, this dress is too short. Like, it comes above your knee. I'm like, you think that's too short?
Girl, you be doing too much. Too conservative now.
I know, like my alter ego is like really, you know, like y'all, like boom in your face. She ain't like to come out a lot though.
See, I'm all here for the sexy dress. I don't care.
A dress could be sexy covered up. A dress could be sexy showing a long leg. I mean, it's so many ways to be sexy. You don't always have to be covered to be sexy. You know what I'm saying?
You mean uncovered?
Right.
Yeah. No, but mama think that you got to cover up, like, to be, like, mama, I can still be sexy.
I don't know. In recent years, she's been a little more open about, you know, what she wears. She might wear something with the back out or, you know, something, but she's still conservative about the way she dressed, at least. But she's 40 some years old, and she looked good, honey. If I had her body at her and her age, I'm showing everything.
What are clothes? Give me auntie body, and you will never see me dress, bro.
Right.
I'm traveling like a motherfucker
all the time.
I will have an OnlyFans.
Period. Okay. She had like the surgery body without the surgery.
Right. Well, she ain't got no titties though, but that's, you know, besides.
But them be the baddest ones, the one that don't have no titties.
They got everything else.
But she can wear everything. She can wear low cut stuff. She can wear like anything.
Long V cut.
Exactly, and if she want to make it look like she got a little cleavage, she just gotta wear a push up bra.
Period. Or water bra. Remember they used to make water bras?
I don't know if they still make those.
Oh,
girl, okay. Wouldn't know nothing about them.
What about titty pops?
Huh?
Well, I'm a
like, if you got a water bra on and it pops, your fluid?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I never Nobody's ever
worn a water bra.
No. It just appeared on a night.
But y'all, we have to talk about, I feel like most of the stories about us getting in trouble was like over men. So we definitely have to do an episode about females or I should say women and young ladies like taking agency over their bodies and just like, how are we going to do differently with our kids? Because it's just certain shit that shouldn't fly when it comes to women and their sexuality and just girls in general coming into their own and losing their virginity. So we definitely got to talk about that. But I think we're going to have to wrap up this topic and go into our segment. All right, y'all. So for this segment this week, we're going to do our What in the World, and we have to talk about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. Slim, I don't think you watched it yet, so spoiler. Whatever's happening. Just
tell me, I'll watch it.
I love me some Will Smith. Like, I feel like that, to me, is a man who is, like, evolving and fully formed emotionally, and I love that. And Slim over here saying he gay. He might be. He might be gay. Oh, hey, Tia. Erin Locks.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Tia's joining us, you guys.
Yes.
Hi.
Trouble Walk. She's gracing us with her presence.
Hey, I was going to sing that song, too. Trouble.
I already sang it.
Fucked it up. All right, Tia, we're talking about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. Did you watch it?
No, but I was just talking about it. I really wanted to watch it because I saw a clip of him and Auntie Viv, the first one, and I got excited because she was the best one, in my opinion.
Light-skinned Viv, they totally changed her character and made her like this docile, like,
she was not that way.
My place. Sorry, y'all. We on Skype and I'm at my house. So she's like, ooh.
Right. It's good to see it like in person. Not in person, but like up close.
Virtually.
Right.
Well, since me and Nika the only ones who saw it, y'all about to have some spoilers. So, oh well. But yeah, just like he sat down. I mean, that was the best part. I mean, he actually sat down with the whole cast and they told stories about, like, you know, how the show got started and what it was like filming and just their relationships with each other. But the best part was like at the end when they talked about when they showed the conversation between Janet Hubert, who played dark-skinned Aunt Viv, the original one, and Will Smith. And they showed some clips and stuff on the HBO Max special, but I think they showed more clips on the Red Table Talk. Like, I think if you just see the Red Table Talk, you'll still get the full conversation between Janet and Will.
And you'll get more
of the conversation than if you just watch the HBO Max. So if you don't have HBO Max and you still want to see it, shoot on over to the Red Table Talk for the Will Takeover and watch it there. But basically, the way I saw it is, for the most part, I think it was a misunderstanding.
No. I'm sorry, go ahead. I just totally interrupted your interpretation.
Yeah. I think a misunderstanding started it, and then it blew up into something totally different and the hurt there, because I think the misunderstanding was how Will was perceiving Janet's actions on set. And him being a little ass, you know, young ass kid who's a boss, getting offended by what was on set. And instead of going to her or like in a boss type of even capacity, or just even as a person who's working with somebody capacity to see like what's going on and trying to figure it out, he just got offended, or like he said in the Red Table Talk, just threatened, because she was such a big star and she was Juilliard trained and she could dance, she could act, she could sing, and he just wanted her to like him, and he felt like her actions on set, like he felt like she hated him, she didn't like him, and he got in his feelings about it, and he started acting like a kid. But basically, she was saying, I was going through shit in life. I was pregnant. I was in an abusive relationship. I was with a husband who was abusive and he wasn't working. The financial situation, the home situation, everything was just not a good situation for her, which affected her personality and how she acted on set with everybody else. So it was just like, that's why I say, and I think the root of it was a misunderstanding that could have easily been worked out had, like Will said, had he been more empathetic, or just kind, or tried to figure out the problem. But as a kid, he not knowing, he just reacting off of emotions, and he said things that hurt her career, like her being difficult or her being, he said that she wanted it to be the Aunt Viv of Bel Air show. So he was basically making it seem like she was unprofessional and difficult to work with, which affected her ability to get more jobs and things like that. And I've seen people on the internet calling her to be more accountable for how she acted afterwards, because she was very, she made so many videos and calling him out over the years and just saying mean, terrible things in videos. And people were like, well, maybe people didn't want to hire you because you couldn't let the hurt go and you still was holding on to this, and that was became so much of your character or whatever that people didn't want to hire you. And I get what people are saying, but at the same time, you can't, they can't decide how she treats or how she acts about her pain and the things that happened to her in her life. Like, you don't get to decide how she reacts to it. So I don't know, but
yeah, so this is why I kind of jumped in about the misunderstanding word, because it makes it seem like she did something to him that he misunderstood, and she didn't do anything to him. You know what I'm saying? She just kind of withdrew, and he sort of turned the cast against her. Like, his reaction was to ruin her career. Like, that was his reaction. And it wasn't just a side effect of how he responded to her, but it was an intention. You know what I'm saying? Like, and yes, the intention spawned from him being a little ass kid and not knowing how to handle it, but it's not as if he was like, he felt like he said attacked or threat, not attacked, but threatened. And he felt like he needed her approval and he didn't get it. And that led him to shut down and then felt threatened. So his response was to create this sort of hostile environment toward her. And it was something that he purposefully cultivated. So it's not like, oh, well, I just responded to how she was acting, and then these were the consequences of that. It was very much intentional.
I agree with that. I just meant,
and I think that that's why
her misinterpreted her withdrawal.
Yeah. Demeanor. Now, it's not even like they were saying that she was out there being snippy with him. She just removed herself. She just wasn't really talking to them. And she was saying to herself, and she would just wait in her car, and she would just wait in her dressing room. And she just wasn't very interactive like she used to be when the show first started. So it's not even necessarily that she was doing anything to him that caused this reaction. It's just based on his perception of her just general demeanor. And then he started creating these like intentional things. And so I do feel like, and you could tell that he took accountability for that. And like, he wasn't like the doctor, the clinical psychiatrist that he had there. I believe she was a clinical psychiatrist. She was basically saying like, he took ownership of his part and didn't solely blame it on his youth, and basically said that's the mindset that I was coming from. And looking back on it now, as a man who has been married and divorced and married and have children, I could clearly see that you were going through something. But my 21-year-old eyes didn't have that perception. And so I acted selfishly and reactionary to it, which is very valid. But I will say, like, for the people saying that she, like, how she reacted and the videos that she was making and blah, 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 those videos didn't come until the 2015s and the 2018s.
Years after she had been experiencing this stuff.
Exactly. She experienced this stuff 30 years ago. So 30 years ago, from 30 years ago to 2018, when she started making these very explosive videos about him, she wasn't working. She talked about she lost her house, like her family basically disowned her because like the way that people reacted to her because of Will Smith and what he was saying was very, very negative. And it was causing like issues with her family members because they would find out or they would hear the name and connect them and then treat the family members in a certain way. So she was like, I was shunned by my family because they felt like I disgraced them. She was like, it killed her career. She was like, I was on Broadway. I was, you know, doing all of these things, and they essentially killed her career. She was like, I'm already a dark-skinned Black woman in this industry. So that causes challenges. She was like, and then on top of that, now I have this reputation of being a bitch and being difficult to work with and being a diva. No one wanted to hire me. So she's like, I lost my home. I was in an abusive relationship. So all of these things happened well before she started making these videos and basically calling out Will. And I think what caused her to really start coming out is that Will Smith became more public with the Red Table Talk and with just him doing his YouTube channel and his Instagrams and just being like showing people who he was as a person and his evolution as a man and his emotional revolution. And I feel like that maybe had triggered some shit in her because she like, you talking about all this growth and revelation and you literally ruined my life. You know, you literally ruined my life and we have yet to talk about it. You have yet to come to me to make amends about it, you know? So I totally get where she's coming from. And I feel like, you know, I would have been making videos too if he...
Right. This nigga.
Like, she literally was in Cats, came off of Broadway, Juilliard trained, and was on this show. And because of Will Smith, she could not get work after that. Lost her home, lost all her money. They tried to give her a bullshit deal where basically they told her they were going to reduce her role so she only worked 2 months that year. But then she was not allowed to take anything else. And that's why she got off the show. So it's not like she was fired. They tried to reduce her role so much that she would basically get paid for 2 months of work and she wasn't allowed to be on any other show. So she's like, so y'all gonna pay me for 2 months and then tell me I can't do nothing else? I can't work anywhere else? Like, no, I can't accept that.
I know some people on, I seen it going around Facebook, people saying like, well, Will said that he didn't even know about the contract that they offer her and yada yada. And I'm like, no, that's not what he said. He said he didn't see the contract that they offered, but it was his decision to reduce her hours. So of course yeah. He's not the network. He can't offer her whatever contract because that's the network. So he might not have known the exact deal that the network offered her, but he knew that he purposely was reducing her role. Exactly. So it's just like, he knew what he was doing. It was intentional. It's just like, she had the right to feel how she felt. And she had the right to speak out about it.
Exactly. And just because y'all love him doesn't mean that he's infallible. And I think that we see that with a lot of these celebrities. It's like, y'all too fucking grown to feel like these celebrities are infallible, no matter how great of a personality they might be portraying to you on the internet. Y'all too damn old for that. And in the end, he can sit there and own up to his shit. And that's the craziest thing to me about this weird celebrity situation. It's like a celebrity can own up to their shit. A celebrity can take ownership of the bullshit that they caused. He fully acknowledges that he ruined her career. He fully acknowledges that he was immature and he reacted poorly. He fully acknowledges that he like just interpreted her shit as an attack to him or a threat to him, regardless of what she was actually going through without trying to resolve it. He fully acknowledges all of this, apologizes for all of this, and claims ownership of his part. But yet the internet don't want to do that. Like, they don't want him to claim ownership over the shit that he know he did. Like, he was there. He experienced it. You're muted, Slim.
I gotta watch this special. I'm probably gonna watch it right after this.
You gotta watch for this conversation. Watch the Red Table Talk.
Yeah.
Now I've seen clips of that on Instagram.
Yeah. So HBO Max was the reunion with the entire cast. And they talked about like their different roles and how they auditioned for the show. And they talked about James Avery and the role that he, that's his name, right? Did I mess that up?
Yeah.
I don't want to get this man's name wrong. And the role that he played as Uncle Phil. No, for real. That he played as Uncle Phil and like his contribution, how he taught them. Like, it was a very like nice reunion. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so, but then it was also this moment where he was like, you know, he told them like, I met with her separately because I felt like we couldn't do this without acknowledging the contribution that she has to the show because she is iconic. You know what I'm saying? Like, she is iconic, period. She's an iconic character. That dance where she was, everybody dance down. All of us started doing this. Exactly. She's iconic in that way. So he's like, you know, I can't do this show, this reunion, without acknowledging her role in my life, in the show, in the success of the show, you know? And so... it was a very nice conversation. And then the Red Table, it was just Will and his therapist. And they were essentially like looking at the conversation that he had with her and discussing like the type of healing that he had to do to get to a point where he could sit there and have that conversation and be open and not defensive and all of those type of things. So I think it was a good, I think it was a good conversation to show his ownership in it, but it was also a good conversation to show like how, when you have wronged someone, how to really accept their feelings in the situation and validate their feelings in the situation and help them gain healing in the situation. So yeah, I'd say watch them both.
Yeah, I like it was something that he said about love, L-U-V, and he said listen, understand, and validate. Mm-hmm. So he was saying that when you have a conflict resolution, he was saying you listen to them, and then he said it's still not your turn, then you repeat back what they said so that you that you can make sure you're understanding what they say, and then you validate the parts that you agree with. And he was like, and that's how you like proceed into a conversation or a conflict resolution or healing. And I was like, dang, I really like that. She was like, you're the clinical psychologist at this point. And he like, well, I learned from thousands of hours of therapy and yada, yada, yada.
But he's like, couples therapy, individual therapy.
Like, all these therapies that I done did. But it was at one point, she was, the clinical psychologist was irritating me. And let me tell you, because I felt like she said this like two or three times when she kept saying she was, well, that was a lot how she was coming at you, or she was coming at you. The way that she was using the term coming at you was irritating me, because I'm like, she's not coming at him. You know what I'm saying? She's telling her story. Yeah. And it was just like, I didn't like how she phrased that. And
see, I didn't like that either, because I do think it's because the therapist was not a Black woman. And I, you know, you're talking about this Black woman voicing a very real experience, very real pain, and very like universally acknowledged trauma that was inflicted by him. And it was perceived as her coming at him, because she wasn't just saying like, oh, you're sorry, that's okay. You know what I'm saying? She's like, but why? I want to know why you did it. Because she wanted him to fully understand the effect that it had had on their lives. And you have to understand, on her life. And you have to understand that they had not spoken in 30, like in 30 years, not 30 years, but like 26 years. They have not said a word to each other. So it's like, for her, she was like, I need you to understand the effect that what you did had on my life. Like on my, she's like, I felt like I served a life sentence. Like, she's like, I felt like I was in, like essentially in jail because of what you did back then. Like, it still is affecting me. You know, and so for her to use that phrase coming at you, I agree. It's very like antagonistic. And that's not, and she wasn't saying it in an antagonistic way at all. And you can tell, because when Will would get emotional, and I feel like, again, Black women are always doing the emotional labor. She was comforting Will as Will got emotional about it, about what he did. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so it's like,
she was like, you didn't know, you were young, you didn't know.
Exactly. So it's like she was using him while trying, like while trying to hold this accountable. And I think as Black women, we do that a lot. Like, we excuse the behavior that hurts us because we want to be empathetic and we want to be an emotional support system for the men in our lives or whatever. And so we excuse behaviors that are negatively affecting us or hurting us because we kind of understand what caused it. And so to me, I'm like, she was validating him and comforting him when really it was about the harm that he caused. But I also feel like, I think part of the reason why she was using that term is because people often perceive that as an attack. You know what I'm saying? Like, as coming, because she kept saying she was throwing emotional punches at you. And I think what she was trying to do was illustrate for the viewers how most people would perceive that situation and how he was not perceiving it in that way. So she was basically saying, you were handling those emotional punches very well. And he was like, well, I didn't take it as punches. Like, it wasn't punches in my book. She was expressing her emotion. She was expressing herself and her experience and her story. So I didn't take it as her coming at me. And I think that she was partially trying to show, like, you see how he didn't get offensive when it was a moment where it looked like she was coming at him or attacking him. You know what I'm saying? And so I think there was function there, but I feel like it's a hard line to toe.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you talk about a Black woman.
Exactly. Oh,
she's coming at you. She's throwing emotional punches. Like, no, yeah. She's telling her story. Like, exactly. Period.
And I agree. So I think that that's a fine line that not many people
read. I was glad that he came in and said, I didn't perceive it as a punch. Exactly. And, you know, and I was even glad that he decided to take this conversation to the red table, because he could have left it at the HBO special, right? But I feel like with the red table talk, it was reaching more people, because on HBO Max, you have to have a subscription for it. So only people who have the subscription can see it. And I feel like everybody got a Facebook. So if you got Facebook, you can watch the Red Table Talk. And I felt like he was being very intentional about her clearing her name and basically trying to undo some of the things that he did and give her a platform to tell her story. And he, on the Red Table Talk, he even told more of her story than on HBO. So I felt like, I also felt like she didn't know that he was going to do both, because she was like, wow, you told the story again, because I saw her Twitter post. And she was just basically like, wow, Will, I didn't know you were going to do that. You went even beyond what I expected, basically, to try to, like, tell her story, clear up her name. And I really liked that. So I hope she gets some work. She still look good. I'm sure she could still act. And I hope she gets some work out of it.
Yeah, definitely. And they had the two, because apparently light skin Unviv and dark skin Unviv had never met. So they met for the first time. And I'm sure light skin Unviv, what is her name?
Daphne Maxine Reed.
Yeah, Daphne Reed. Like, I feel like in that role, like you're stepping into a role that was
a big one.
And then like your role isn't as like, I don't want to say isn't as strong, but because she definitely had moments where she was like putting her foot down, but it wasn't like dark skin Aunt Viv, who was ready to go. She was ready to take off some earrings. Okay. She was gonna fight. She was here for the shit. And I think that like it has to hurt in some capacity, because she played that role just as long as dark skin Aunt Viv did, because she was only on the first three seasons. Light skin Aunt Viv was on the second three seasons. So I feel like, you know, you're in that role, and now, especially now, you're talking about 30 years later, and people are, you know, you got J. Cole, you know, that dark skin Aunt Viv loves. You got, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have all of these people, like, OG Aunt Viv, dark skin Aunt Viv, like, blah, 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 blah. And you have people basically saying, like, that role, once you got it, became negligible. And I know that has to hurt, you know what I'm saying? As an actress, and that's your craft, as somebody who probably loved being on the show and loved the role that you play, and to see your perception, like the perception of your character, is like, man, she weak. Like, you know, that had to have created some, I don't want to say animosity between her and Janice Hubert, but I think it probably created like a tension.
Yeah, I think Daphne Reed is just a dope person in her own right. So I just love how gracious she is. And in real life, I didn't know. I just read like a biography on her. She kind of like was about it in real life in these civil rights streets. And she was really about the movement and stuff, which you didn't really get to see as part of her character as much as you did as part of dark skin Aunt Viv character. I feel like they kind of made her like a supplementary role when light skin Aunt Viv took over. So it's just, it's unfortunate, because Daphne Reed is a dope person in her own right. But yeah, I'm definitely for the dark skin Aunt Viv. Honestly, I mean, she was perfect for that role.
Yeah, she really was.
All right, take us out, Nika.
Wait, did y'all see Nikki? I forgot. I be forgetting he was even on the show. Little Nikki, the youngest son.
Yeah, I was wondering where he was at.
He came to the reunion.
I seen him at the end, but like before, I was like, are they gonna bring little Nikki back? The
little brother. Because I forget he exists.
I didn't forget. I was wondering where he was at. And when he walked in, I knew exactly who he was, because he still looked the same.
He really does. Same height and everything.
They don't look the same.
All right, y'all. Well, let us know if you have any interest in getting in trouble stories. Hit us up at our Gmail. At 4bmwpodcast@gmail.com. That is the number 4bmwpodcast@gmail.com.
Don't forget to rate, like, and subscribe.
Follow us on all platforms at BMW Podcast.
Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. Don't forget to become a part of the BMW giveaway. Bye.